Good morning, and thank you again for the invite to share this incredible passage from Isaiah 53. Before I do so, let's pray. Let's give thanks. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for San Susie Baptist. I thank you for their heart for you, God, their heart to serve you and to serve this community of San Susie and the surrounding areas and suburbs, Lord. I thank you for their faithfulness and their generosity, Lord. And as they're in this time of transition from an interim to a hopefully a permanent minister, Lord, we just pray for wisdom and guidance in that process. Father, we thank you for your word. As that song said, it is true and it endures forever. Your word brings life. And Father, as we look at Isaiah 53 this morning, we pray that the words from this ancient text will ring true to our minds and our hearts and bring life as it points us to your Son, Jesus. And we pray all this in his name. Amen. Why are you here? I mean, why are you here right now, this morning, here in church? What brought you here? What brought you here this morning? You may have come this morning expecting to hear this great guest speaker, and then you find out you get me. Please stay, don't leave. We're all here this morning for a reason. And that reason is enough to get out of bed on your Sunday morning, isn't it? To come here to church and spend an hour, 2 hours out of your precious Sunday. There must be a reason, right? Maybe you're curious and it's your first time. Maybe it is a sense of duty or service. Or maybe you just love coming to church. You're on fire for God and nothing's going to stop you coming to church. Great stuff. But whether it is your first time this morning or you've been coming along to church for decades, there must have been something about the Christian faith that has drawn you here. It's drawn you here today, or maybe a very long time ago. Something about Jesus that you want to know more about. Or maybe it's something deeper. You feel like something is missing in your life. Or you're at your end. You've got nowhere else to turn. And you want to see what the church offers. What is so special about the Christian faith? What is so important about the story of Jesus, which is the heart of Christianity? You see, Jesus is the heart of Christianity. And this ancient text, this ancient passage from Isaiah, points us to Jesus the Savior. Jesus, who would be the world's hope and its only hope. And all of that is because of God's love for the world. He would bring us hope in Jesus. That's the essence of Christianity, the heart of Christianity. And as we look to Easter and the death and resurrection of Jesus, it becomes more and more of a focus in our lives and the life of the church, doesn't it? And looking at Isaiah 53 this morning, I want us to understand that Jesus is God's plan of hope for the world he loves. Isaiah 53 is this incredible passage that predicts or prophesies the coming of Jesus. And it predicts it 700 years before Jesus is born into this world. And you could argue that nowhere else in the Old Testament does Jesus shine more clearly than Isaiah 53. It's sometimes called the passage of the suffering servant. Isaiah hears from God and tells the people of Israel that the Messiah, the Savior, is coming. But, as they might have expected, the Messiah is not going to be some kind of super soldier, enemy-slaying, all-conquering king. Instead, he will come to suffer and die in their place. And in doing so, he is their hope. He will save them But save people from what? What is the problem here that God is trying to solve? And God is bringing hope to a world without hope, a world that has turned away from him. And turning away from him is what we would call sin, right? You know, where people rebel from God, or they decide not to follow God, or they're hostile towards him. Take your pick. It's all what we would call sin. That is the problem. The problem is sin. People turning away from God. I had an old boss and an old job who used to always say to us, "Come to me with solutions, not with problems." And here is God coming up with a solution to sin, not more problems. God has a plan. He has a solution to sin, and that is to send his Messiah, who is his own son, Jesus. Now remember, this passage is written 700 years before Jesus' time. This is not a plan that God had just thought of, or had just had no idea about, or was unplanned. No, God had it all under control. He had a plan, and he had been cooking up that plan for a long time. And that's the first thing to remember about God's plan of hope in Jesus. This is not some afterthought. God did not take this lightly. The problem of sin was so great that it required a drastic solution. And that drastic solution was God to send his son, Jesus, to die. Verse 10 in Isaiah 53 tells us what Jesus was in store for. He was going to be crushed. He was going to suffer. Verse 10, "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And the Lord makes his life an offering of sin." So verse 10 also tells us why Jesus has come to be crushed and to suffer. And that is to be an offering of sin for sin. Jesus is the solution to sin by offering up his life in our place. Now if we jump to verse 12, it describes again, but in more detail, the offering of Jesus' life for our sin. Verse 12, it says, "He poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Jesus poured out his life unto death for us, transgressors. And transgressors is another word for a sinner, someone who breaks God's laws, who turns away from God. And verse 12 then says that Jesus is, in dying for us, bears our sin. He took our sin, and so Jesus became a sacrifice for our sin. The people of Isaiah's time would have known exactly what he was talking about. They're living in the time of the sacrificial system, right? God required them to sacrifice animals to pay for sin, where the blood of the sacrificed animal is a substitute for the person's sin, and that substitute removes the punishment of sin, which is death. Now, how this substitution exactly works, it is mysterious, but it is God's right to require it. You see, God is perfectly just. His justice is perfect. So he cannot let sin go unpunished. It does require a punishment. And in allowing an animal to be sacrificed in a person's place, the punishment is completed under the sacrificial system. Here is Isaiah, on behalf of God, telling his people that another sacrifice is coming. But this is not an animal sacrifice. This is a better, perfect sacrifice. It is God's Son, Jesus. Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, who will lay down his life as a substitute for each and every one of them. And a sacrifice that will bear the sins of many. And in that sacrifice, in Jesus, there is hope. And that hope is coming. Isaiah 53 tells us of God's plan to save the people he loves. God's plan to send Jesus, this Jesus, the perfect sacrifice for sin, all sin and for all time. No more sacrifices. And it is Jesus' death that is a substitute that will take place for the punishment of sin, death. That's the essence of Christianity. God's plan in Jesus to save people from sin and from death. So the problem is sin. The solution is Jesus, his life, his death, and resurrection. But where does hope come into it? It cannot just end with death. And that's where the resurrection part comes in. Jesus' death took our punishment for sin, but his death did not mean defeat. Instead, Jesus conquered death. In his resurrection, being raised to life, and he is now alive. Amen. You cannot have the death of Jesus without talking about his resurrection. His resurrection in which there is hope, the greatest hope that we have, that death is defeated. And now life is victorious. Death no longer has the final say. But now life has the final say. Amen. In between verses 10 and 12, we read of this hope of life. Hope that the Messiah will see the light of life and be satisfied. And God will reward the Messiah with portion among the great. He will divide the spoils with the strong, it says in this passage. Again, the people of Isaiah's time would have clearly known of these victorious conquering words. A king conquering the enemy and collecting the treasures, the spoils of victory. But it also might have been a bit confusing. The reward was not the usual gold or treasure or land, but instead the reward for Jesus would be the light of life through his resurrection. Yeah, treasure and gold are nice, but much better is life, eternal life. Also, the resurrection of Jesus would not happen for his sake alone. No, it was for the world that he loved. He loves. A world that can share in Jesus' defeat over death and the reward of his resurrection. And for the people of the world to receive this reward, all they have to do is place their faith in him, to believe in his death and resurrection. And when you do that, you are adopted into the family of God. As Isaiah says in verse 10, you are counted as one of God's offspring. There's no greater hope than that. The hope of life after death. That death is not final, but life is. And that hope is only in Jesus, which Isaiah tells us about. Jesus is God's plan of hope for the world that he loves. For each one of us, for you and for me. That is the heart of the Christian faith. That is the story of Christianity. That's the story of Easter. And you may have been touched by that heart a long time ago. Or maybe more recently. Or maybe never. Maybe you have not placed your faith in Jesus yet. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, hang on, I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. Yeah, maybe I do not follow God. I'm not into this Christianity thing. I don't believe in God, but I'm a pretty good person. So what's the problem? My response to that type of thinking is, please be careful. Sin can be hidden. Sin can be pervasive. It can be deceptive. It is always destructive. Down at Woolloomooloo, sin is there for everyone to see. It's on the street. You don't have to walk very far to see drugs, alcohol, violence, and so on. And if you get to know people, you hear their stories and you listen to them, sometimes it doesn't take too long for people to say, I'm a bad dude. I've been a bad guy. I've been a bad person. I've done some horrific and terrible things. And when you're in those conversations, you can just feel the guilt and the shame of the person. And if you don't feel it, they will tell you of the guilt and the shame they feel for the things that they've done or they are doing. So the story of Jesus can be a powerful story of hope in people's lives. That Jesus, in Jesus, their guilt, their shame, sin and death can all be paid for, taken away, only by faith in him, in his death, his life and resurrection. And we know that as Christians down in Woolloomooloo, we have to get better at telling people of the hope we have in Jesus. We have to be bold, we have to be courageous, and we have to challenge each other to do so, to tell people the hope we have in Jesus. But what does it look like for you? What does it look like for you personally? What does it look like for St. Susie Baptist? What does it look like for your community here, for San Susi, the surrounding areas? If you follow Jesus, then be happy, rejoice in the hope he has given you, that you now live in the light of life. Make much of him in your own life and to those around you. May your life reflect the hope you have in Jesus in all that you say and all that you do. May it reflect that faith you have. And if you do not follow Jesus, if you're not his, then you can be. You can belong to that great and strong people that Isaiah talks about. And you may not feel worthy of that. You may feel unworthy. We all do at times, don't we? But that's the whole plan of God's that's the whole point of God's plan of hope in Jesus. That he died in our place. Though we are unworthy, he is worthy. And he sees you as worthy. That he would lay down his life for you. To respond, we have to place our faith in Jesus. Put our trust in him as Savior. Jesus, who forgives our sins, who dies our death, and who shares with us that reward of resurrection and life, just as God said he would in Isaiah 53. At all times, remember that it is Jesus who is God's plan of hope for the world that he loves. Amen. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for your incredible love, that you are love. And that as love, you love us with this perfect, unlimited, infinite love, that you would send your Son, Jesus, to die for us. and that wasn't something that you took lightly. That would have been agonizing and heartbreaking. But it was the only solution, and one that you had planned for a long time. As we read in Isaiah 53 and we look to Easter, the plan of Jesus to be the Saviour, the Messiah, the solution to sin. And we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. That we look to Jesus in his resurrection and his life. And are just blown away. Just don't understand. Don't know why. That you would want us to share in the reward of your death. All we can do is give thanks. Give thanks, but also in thanking you, tell people about you and show those around us the hope that we have in you. Father, I just pray for the people here this morning, San Susie Baptist, for the people that heard that message and God had been speaking to throughout the service, Lord, that if there are people who do not know you, Jesus, that they will make that decision. That they will reach out to myself or the leadership here. Ask the questions they need to ask. Ask to be prayed for. And place their faith in Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.